hear you.
Oh my God, how long has it been?
A very long time, hasn't it?
Hugs.
Like through the
Yeah,
camera.
exactly. That's fine. That's all we need. How have you
Well, I mean,
been?
I'm good. Well, this is my new house.
Yes.
And we don't have a study set up yet. And I don't want to do it in like the dining room because then my husband can't watch
Fair
TV
enough.
because I'll be yeah.
Oh, that's
So
not
I'm in
considerate.
our bedroom. I'm in our bedroom
Oh my God, so
and
hold on. So, for the first time, I mean, if I end up throwing this up on YouTube, for the first time that you're on camera. Wait, is this the first time you'd be
this
on camera?
yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And you decide that you're just gonna bring the entire world into your bedroom. That's what you decide to do.
I had no other choice, to be
That
honest.
is all kinds of gutsy. Jeez.
Well,
I'm in the
I
basement. I have a sombrero in the corner. That's the
I
intent of my
you
bravery.
can't even see anything. Look, that's a bed frame. That's it,
I see
right?
the bed
Like,
and I see a pillow with his face with both of you.
okay, I better move
However you want to get down is fine. I'm not here to
that.
judge. This is where the magic happens, basically, right?
Right.
The
So,
podcasting magic. Don't be dirty, guys.
okay,
Come
no,
on.
that's more obvious, isn't it? No, I'm just okay, now I'm conscious. I
I'm
didn't
trying to pick
know.
things out from the frame, okay? Just, it's okay. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's fine. Well, welcome back. It's been a while,
Yes,
and
it has been a while.
it's been a while for me as well. For everyone else, welcome back to the Split Screen Podcast. This is Shah Shahid, obviously, and this is our. I think this is my first recording in 2019. So this is me, all healed up from all the nonsense that I was going through, and I'm back. Sam, thank you so much for being here. This is going to be sort of a very loose episode. I've gotten used to in the past year, in 2018, doing like a monthly Bollywood sort of recap show. That is a lot of work, and I figured we'll keep it light, we'll keep it loose. This is going to be a special episode where we look back on 2018 and its biggest moments, and you'll find out what that means in a little bit. But Sam, thank you so much. Welcome back. You are now sort of at this point where you've surpassed me as a writer.
What?
Whereas,
Really?
yes, I read your recent piece, which obviously we will delve into a lot more in detail. You've also just recently done a podcast talking
Yeah.
solely about that, which I will be linked in the show notes with the Pardesi YouTube channel podcast. But I'm reading this thing and I'm like, do I need to even bother anymore? Like, can I just stop writing and just like
No,
link
don't say
everything to like Sam's Twitter?
that.
Because why, like, what's the
No. No,
point
no,
at this
no.
point, right?
No.
Because I'm reading
No,
this
look.
thing, and the funny thing is, usually, like, if I'm reading something that I didn't experience, you know, I'm reading someone else's movie review that I haven't watched, or they're,
Yeah.
you know, like, Ankur Pathak is an amazing writer for HuffPost India. I read some of his stuff and I'm like, oh my God, yes, he's making great points, but I
AK
can't.
Talkies?
Yes,
AK Talkies?
exactly.
Yeah, he's great. No,
Whereas
he's great.
I'm looking at this article, and I've lived through everything you discuss in the article, I know you personally, so we've had conversations about these things, but then when you kind of combine these words together and these situations, I'm like, I'm reading this thing, I'm like, yeah, that's such a good point. Like, it's like things I've never thought of before, even though I've lived through it, I've had conversations about it, and I'm like, she makes a good point. Yeah, this is really remarkable. I never put this together. So it's kind of like, why bother? Let's just read this all the time.
That is seriously so great. Like, look, I'm even doing a thank you
Yes,
namaste.
this might be like the first video thing we do, so we need to have visual cues. Thank you for that. I appreciate you being aware of that. Okay, so before we get into what the show is about, I'm going to a little bit ambush you, Sam, just slightly. But it's also something I feel like I need to address. I kind of addressed it already on the Curious Cat thing. But I have been gone for a while, and this is something I didn't talk to Sam about before. This is kind of the first time I'm bringing this up, and also to a lot of other people as well. My third quarter of 2018 was a little rough. I kind of felt like I was doing a lot. I was really overwhelmed, with a lot of things that I was trying to do, blogging and podcasting and my freelance writing stuff. Nothing personal. It was more really all professional related. I got a little overwhelmed. I kind of decided to take a break and walk away from some things and create a sort of better balance, like a work-life balance, come up with a way to kind of manage my time better. I had a bit of a minor health scare, which kind of got me in that reflective mode, as happens, you know. No, it wasn't WebMD, it was actual doctors. I was very dangerously leaning back into a phase of my life that I overcame almost 20 years ago. I was really depressed when I was around 15, and so those the triggers that caused me to feel that way have long since, you know, disappeared. But I was kind of starting to lean back into that mode, and that's not good for anyone. So I kind of stepped back. I'm kind of back. I kind of think I have things figured out. But the thing I wanted to bring this up, not for any sort of like, you know, good job, Shah, but more because you, Sam, are one of very few people who, without realizing it, sort of gave me the sort of courage, kind of made me feel really good about myself at a time where I felt like crap about am and what I am. I don't know if you guys remember, but you and Asim, actually, another person. And again, you guys didn't really know what I was going through, but it's just that this really made me feel like I was part of a community. You guys had that, you know, guess Shah's pet name hashtag and that whole thread that was going on. And those were sort of the very few tweets I did for the last couple of months. And it, again, it really made me feel like, you know, I belong and that there's people that, you know, are here for me. And again, not in any specific way, but just that sort of BS, frivolous, fun sort of things really made me kind of... It helped. It really did help at a tough time. So thank you for that.
That was obviously... It was just sort of... You know, we were just having fun, basically.
It was a day in Twitter, basically. But it really did mean a lot to me personally. So that's why I kind of wanted to thank you for that.
We're all rooting for you. I love your site. I love your writing. I always read your reviews. You know that. Because for those that don't know, I always message her afterwards. I'm like, hey, I just read your review and it was great and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I am a steady reader on your site.
Actually, a lot of my reviews are influenced by my conversations with Sam. So, actually, you should take the credit for that. Usually, I'm like, what was this? This is crazy. And then you reply back. I'm like, that's a good point. Again, like the article.
But obviously, the guest Shah's pet name thing was just really just like a fun thing that just started. And it's just continued because it's still going, isn't it?
It is going a little bit. I forget who, I forget the Twitter... user handle, but Faz Begum, she's...
Farzana Begum 2. Right. Yeah, Farzana Begum 2. Faz, yeah.
Right. She's really mad about this. By the way, it's not Mongea. I'm just putting that out there.
Anyone guessing, it's not Mongea. brought it up again a few days back.
She seemed really upset. I'm still waiting, Shah. And I'm like, whoa. I feel I'm obligated now to reveal this.
I feel she's more persistent because she's like, I will get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if she just ambushes me in public. I'm like, it's just you, tell me. But no, anyway, Sam, thank you. Thank you for that unknowingly kind of lifting up my spirits.
And I really hope 2019 is a great year for everyone, especially you.
Definitely should be. Definitely. I'm working towards that. And I also want to give a quick shout out to Manish as well, Manish Mathur, and his podcast on Talk Film Society, Film Talk Society. I was on recently. I did a podcast. And again, during that time, for some reason, also a lot of people reached out to me to be on their shows. So that happened to be sort of like the serendipitous thing where it was giving me like validation in a way. You know, when you're kind of down about, you know, what am I doing? Should I keep doing this in the world? Life sucks. Hashtag first world problems. You know, so it's really nice when people reach out and go, hey, I like what you do. You know, can do it more. So it was really cool. So to all you guys, and then again, and really the Twitterverse in general, we have this really small community on Twitter. I refer to them all the time. Even like they influence a lot of what I really do. So thank you everybody out there who've kind of helped me through this weird time, which again, we're going to move on from super quick because this is getting super whiny.
No, it's not.
A little bit. But, like every time I tell this story, really, like, I kind of, my reaction is always like, oh my god, this is such first world problems. Like, I'm really just talking about my emotions and feelings, and now I was overwhelmed with life, guys. Like, you know?
You should go to India to find yourself.
Right? Yes. Eat, pray, love that nonsense. You know what's weird? I did go to Bangladesh during all that too. During all this, I did go to Bangladesh.
Go to India, Bangladesh to find yourself and then post like this, put up this Instagram post and have this really condescending long article.
Yes. And the picture is like something just like a field in the sunlight.
Completely unrelated. And just be like, the people here are so poor, but their hearts are so full.
Sprinkled with Buddha references. And like moksha. Yeah. And just like various Eastern philosophies, you know? Yeah, I'm down. I'm for it. Anyone, hey, my Patreon's open if anyone wants to fund this. All right, let's get down to why we're here, essentially. Yeah. So 2018 was pretty huge for Bollywood, right? A lot of crazy things happened. A lot of things that I think surprising things happened. It was very much, I mean, movies and, you know, off screen. I mean, okay, I gotta ask. For you gossip queens, it was the year. Am I wrong? Am I right or wrong? This was right?
This was an unprecedented year. We have never had a year like 2018 when it's come to like gossip material, for sure. I mean, three major A-list actresses got married, right. And one other A-list actress got married like December 2017, so I guess it does count in the 2018, like, you know, just like that 12-month period.
It counts for awards. So, it counts for the Oscars, so it counts for us.
It was insane. Like, the amount of, like, I'm telling you, like, I am just a voyeur, and I was exhausted. So can you even imagine what it was like?
I'm really glad that my emotional breakdown coincided with two of those weddings. I was really glad. I didn't need to be on Twitter. I didn't need to mute anything. I was just gone for my own personal reasons. So that was kind of like a benefit that I just kind of skipped that whole thing. I did enjoy that, though. A lot of things. I mean, even with movies, like up until, again, like the first week of December, we had, you know, releases that kind of, you know, were hits. And you're like, what the hell? And flops that you're like, whoa, what the hell? So we're going to talk about all that. I tried to go a little chronologically, but we're going to kind of jump all over the place. The sort of first controversy we had in the beginning of the year was the whole Padmavat thing, right?
Yes,
The movie itself was, I enjoyed it. I had many problems with it. You can hear back on some of the other episodes of this show. You came on almost 2 years ago before the movie even released.
Yeah.
And we discussed, you know, what the history of Padmavat and all that. You actually went to India. You gave us your first-hand account.
Yes.
Now, I have a question for you regarding the Padmavat issue. I mean, the controversy was obviously dealing with historic accuracy, and, you know, there was like fatwas released and crazy stuff against Deepika and everyone else. We're also now on the cusp, sort of, you know, a year later on Manikarnika, you know, releasing sometime in January, February. But leading up to this movie, besides internal drama in the movie itself, you know, Kangana is the director now, all of a sudden the director left and Sonu Sood left and people are leaving and coming. Besides that, there's really no sort of outcry that I've heard of regarding the historical accuracy of this movie. No one's out to cut off Kangana's nose, you know, for the movie. I mean, other things maybe.
Yeah.
But,
So
why do you think that is? Why do you think there's this sort of preferential treatment or like this sort of discrepancy between what movies people choose to get pissed off about?
Well, I mean, I'm just going to put it to something that might come off controversial and I may have a horde of fans coming after me, but I do think Kangana is good at, she set the groundwork for no controversies by sucking up to the right wing.
Sure. Okay.
She did that. I mean, she's basically been going around talking about how cows should be protected. You know, she's...
Really? I didn't even know about that.
She did, she came on some show and she was just like agreeing that cows are sacred animals and should be protected and et cetera, and talking about nationalism and how important it is. So I think she has sort of bought into or is plying the nationalistic groups with sort of like, you know, buttering them up, basically.
Muska.
Yeah, muska. She's like lagawing muska, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because of that, I think it's all been quiet on the home front. I mean, I can't think of any other explanation for that, to be honest, because, I mean, Manikarnika is a historical film that delves into the topic of an historical figure that we, again, do not know a whole lot about, which is exactly what Padmavat was about, which is exactly what, I mean, even Devdas had his fair share of controversies back then. It was on a smaller scale, but people were like, this never happened in the books, you know. So there are always people that are going to go and say, this never happened, that never happened. But no one's actually saying that about Manikarnika. So I'm very curious more than anything else. Yeah.
I mean, there is things to talk about with Manikarnika, but not this kind of stuff, which, yeah, I mean, I was just a little surprised. I mean, I don't know where I heard it. I'm not going to take credit for it, but someone did mention that. This picking and choosing what movies you want to be upset about based on their sort of commercial appeal really kind of exposes these groups' agenda, really, right? Like, they're not
their
really
ulterior
looking,
motives,
right? They're not really upset about the issue. Their agenda really is how much can this issue bring publicity to them?
To them, right?
There's other movies too that you see this with. You know, a lot of other movies that are a lot more sort of. Like, you kind of watch these movies and you're like, why aren't they pissed off about this? Well, like, look at this! But you kind of get that, right, this is an indie movie, that's why no one gives a crap, whereas that's a mainstream movie with, you know, Bollywood stars, and that's why they give a crap. It just seems hypocritical, but hey.
Yeah, and I think the main, amongst all the controversies we've had in the last 2 or 3 years, I think the running strain through all of them has been that all these groups have been fringe groups. Mm-hmm. They're not, like you said, this sort of cherry picking and deciding which film you're going to get outraged about is based on what you think can give you publicity.
Right.
And these sorts of groups, nobody had heard of them before they started protesting against the movie. Like the what was it? The something Sena, the people that got really outraged.
Sena, yeah.
No, the Shiv Sena is actually a mainstream this was... you're referring to Adil Mushkil, right? And Fawad Khan being in it, and that becoming like...
That was the Shiv Sena?
No, it was like a subset of the Shiv Sena, like the small group that sort of like affiliated with the Shiv Sena.
Barely keep up with Canadian politics, so...
Yeah, but like that's what I mean, like it was a small group.
Right.
And then even with the Padmavat controversy, it was like this small group again. And so, I mean, I think it's really... I feel we really need to look at who these groups are and what their reach is, and then look at how much they're actually benefiting publicity-wise from speaking out about their quote-unquote outrage.
Well, clearly, Sam, if you remember someone's name from, like, 2 years ago, it's clearly kind of working, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Right, so let's get into sort of the biggest controversy that happened somewhat mid-2018, which I think we're still kind of hoping that there's a bigger shift, that this kind of sticks, unlike some other controversies that come and go. Me Too movement hit Bollywood in a big sort of badass way. It essentially stemmed from an interview by Tanushi Datta, an actress from a couple of years ago who had retired and gone to the U.S. And she came back, she got some screen time, and she essentially talked about the fact that she was harassed during a movie by Nana Patekar. And this sort of... Similar to Hollywood, this kind of started this sort of rolling ball, the snowballing effect of a lot of people coming out, a lot of people accusing people. So far, I've got a list of sort of the more prominent people that were accused. And, you know, allegedly, you know, I don't know if it's been proven yet. I don't know what the sort of follow-up to these stories are. But everyone from Rajat Kapoor, who was the dad in Kapoor and Sons, Alok Nath, Nana Patekar, Sajid Khan, brother of director Farah Khan, director in his own right as well, Varun Grover, who was the writer for Sacred Games and a lyricist as well, Vikas Bal, which I think he was involved in sort of the biggest repercussion of this Me Too movement in Bollywood, which was the shutting down of Phantom Films. Chetan Bhagat, who's an author, movies based on, his books have been made into movies like Two States. Love Ranjan, director of Sonu Ki Titu Ki Sweety, which, by the way, Sajid Khan, based on his personality, and Love Ranjan, based on his movies, were those really surprises to anyone that these guys were like, abusers to women and they hated women?
Absolutely not.
So there's a lot of been said and then done. Now we can kind of look at this, you know, from a couple of months, you know, later, and I just wanted to ask you, how do you think this was sort of handled by Bollywood in general? I know a lot of people have come out in support, a lot of people said some pretty tone deaf things, overall, now looking back, how do you think Bollywood was able to handle this?
I think it was a lot of two steps forward and one step forward, two steps back.
Right.
I really think so. Because the thing is, for every woman or man that was brave enough to come forward with their story and say, you know, specifically, and so-and-so did this to me, this is what happened, this is my account. There were at least like five people that would come forward and be like, no, this person is not like that, I know them personally, etc., etc. Like in the case of the person that came forward and spoke about Love Ranjan being her harasser.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And then the leading lady in Sonu Ki Titu Ki Sweetie, Nusrat, I think her name.
That was really
Bharucha.
Good, by the way. Yeah, Nusrat Bharucha. That was really good. Bharucha. I can never get that name right, but yeah.
Nusrat, she came forward and she had this whole ass statement on her Twitter about how Love Sir is not like that because this incident happened on the sets where this female assistant was sick and he wouldn't continue unless she got the medical help that she needed, etc., etc. And it was just ridiculous because, I mean, just because a man has not done anything in front of you or to you does not make him capable of not doing it ever.
I also,
you know,
love that when these accusations come out, people give the most mundane, everyday examples towards a guy's like credibility. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That someone was sick and he cared. That must mean he never sexually abused. And I'm so, like, what? Like, so if you feel concerned, that means you're not an abuser, that you've never, like, what? How does that correlate exactly?
I mean, at this rate, they might as well say that they pay their credit card bills on time as an example of how what an upstanding citizen they are.
Yeah, yeah. No, he wears ties. He's fine.
He calls his mother every day, so he cannot be an abuser.
You know what the thing though, to me, that, like, the first thing that I thought of when I heard about the Love Ranjan accusation is those monologues from his movies,
the one that Karthik Aryan is so good at doing. Yeah,
because as funny as those are from like a stand-up perspective,
point
like,
of view.
If you think about that, like, okay, if this was a stand-up show where a guy is complaining about his girlfriend or something, I get it.
Yeah.
But when it becomes like a pattern that this director goes out of his way to put in his movies over and over and over and over again, because even Sonu Ki Titu had one right in the beginning. It's very much like, do you have a problem? Like, it's very much like, do you not like women? Like, who hurt you? It's like the primary example of the who hurt you? What's wrong with you situation.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know, like, for example, sort of the biggest criticism for the Me Too movement reaction was pretty early on by Amitabh Bachchan, where he kind of responded snarkily to a reporter asking him about his thoughts on the situation. Basically, to sum it up, his reaction was very much like, I'm not either one of those people, don't ask me, sort of a thing, which I thought was pretty defensive for no reason. Like, why would you react that way if you have nothing to do with this? Say no comment. I think someone needs to teach Bollywood no comment. I don't understand why they can't say that. Because guys like Varun need to learn no comment. Because he means the best. Like, my boy means the best. But sometimes he just needs to not say things. But what out of sort of everything we've gotten, I mean, we can't really go through all the reactions. What do you think
was the
worst reaction to the Me Too thing?
I
don't want to seem dismissive.
In my opinion, it was, I think what hurt me the most personally was knowing that there were women who were deeming dismissive of the movement.
Yeah.
Some women in the industry, like, for example, Saroj Khan, you know, she's been a choreographer for like how many years now? You know, and she was dismissive of the entire thing, saying these women sign up for it, you know, like some of them are willingly going and taking part in the casting couch or whatever. And she was basically putting the onus completely on women. The other two people that have really disappointed me with their response have been Preeti Zinta and Rani Mukherjee.
Yeah.
Their stance on this has been pretty bad. Like, it just speaks a lot of their ignorance, but I really was not expecting that from them, especially because, you know, they've been around the industry for a long time. They know what it's like. But, and for them to completely have this very tone-deaf stance on it is just not something I was expecting. But overall, yes, it was the reaction of some women in the industry that hurt me a lot. Yeah.
What do you think had sort of the best reaction? The one that you would kind of go,
I think it was Imran Khan.
Oh.
Yeah, because, okay, so he gave an interview where he's... Yeah, so Imran Khan gave an interview where he spoke about how, you know, him being from a film family has insulated him a lot. But he's realized, or he's come to the realization, that there are women that come into the industry from, you know, like, maybe like some small town. Mm-hmm. And they're all alone in the city, they're all alone trying to find work in the industry, and to think that these women have to sometimes be pushed into something they don't want to do just because they really are desperate to land that one role or that film. Right. It was very touching for me to see, especially a star kid, being so cognizant of their privilege, not only when it comes to, you know, being a man and obviously being insulated from, you know, being harassed so upfront, but also to realize that it's not easy for women in general, right, and especially for those that don't have that sort of background or family, like, to help protect them. Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, now, obviously, so far, the biggest sort of consequence of this movement, mm-hmm, so far, I say, because again, I'm still hoping that other things happen too. The biggest sort of snowball effect and repercussion of this has been essentially the dissolving of the Phantom Films production house, which kind of sucks, right? I mean, just as someone who enjoys films and enjoys the work that these guys did, this year alone they had Bhavesh Joshi, they had Sacred Games, they had Man Marzia. Mm. I think Mukkabaz was earlier this year as well with Anurag Kashyap. So this was a great year for the production company as sort of for their art. But on sort of behind the scenes, this is what one of their employees was going through, which is super shitty. And I mean, if it takes, you know, I saw a lot of people, the thing that upset me, and again, like, we've established that I get angry for totally different reasons than normal people. the thing that is kind of irritated me was a lot of people online when Phantom Films closed, and the reason was this expose, and, you know, and this woman's pain. A lot of people are like, oh, that sucks so much, this production house was so, and I'm like, okay, hold on. Like, I'm also upset that we won't get movies from these group of people, from this team. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to what happened, like, there's no comparison. Like, you can't be like, oh, we're losing art. Someone was hurt, like, emotionally, mentally, physically. Like, their life is probably... Like, you can't quantify or compare that. So I think that, to me, was sort of the biggest disappointment from just the public in general. I mean... But do you think that, like, after this, obviously, and Phantom, I mean, say what you will about Anurag Kashyap, he's kind of like my favorite director, and I'm sure the thing that I like about him, even with how he dealt with this, you can definitely criticize him for, you know, not dealing with this properly, because he's admitted that he didn't do this properly, and the fact that I like that he just kind of like took his shirt off and went, go ahead, like, I'm here for all the lashes, you know what I mean? He was ready for the consequences, however, you know, and he kept coming back on Twitter, which I was kind of like, bro, just leave for a second, right? take a break, I know. I mean, I did like that about him a little bit, but at the same time, do you think there's going to be any other sort of long-standing consequence from this? Like, all these guys, you know, Vikas Bal, you've got, you know, Sajid Khan, who's pretty A-list, mm-hmm, Bollywood by association. You've got Varun Grover, who just came off Sacred Games, like, this year. You think there's going to be any sort of lasting repercussion for these guys and all the others that I haven't even mentioned yet? Do you think there's going to be any sort of lasting change in Bollywood from this?
I hope so, and I think we should also touch on the fact that there were other people in sort of not so much in the forefront who are also facing consequences, like the head of marketing or something from YRF was fired over allegations of sexual harassment. Yeah,
there was a lot of someone singers as well.
Yeah, so someone high up in YRF who works in the movie business, who is not obviously a public face, was fired, and and then there's other people behind the scenes that we don't know of that are probably, you know, getting some sort of, having some sort of repercussions because of the allegations that they're facing, etc. So I think it's there may be change happening behind the scenes that we don't exactly know about. But in terms of the people that we do know publicly of, I hope that these there are lasting repercussions, because people really, really need to know. I mean, need to learn, take notice of these sorts of things and all of that. But at the same time, being cynical, sometimes there is a lot of money riding on people. And yeah. That's, like, for example, Vikas Bal. I mean, he was originally fired from Super 30 with Hrithik.
Yeah.
And then brought back in.
Oh,
because,
really?
Yeah, he's back. No, but it was done quietly. But he's still back.
That's kind of shitty.
It is.
It's very shitty. So the thing is, in the span of this podcast being around, there's been a bunch of things that I've gotten really upset about. All of which are things that we don't talk about anymore. Mm-hmm. And you were actually around. Plagiarism. The India, the Pak ban from Bollywood. Those are things that we no longer discuss, right? They've been swept under the rug. Those are things that happened. We were appalled in the beginning, and nothing happened. My cynicism really lies in the fact that I really feel like this is going to be another one of those things. I hope, and that's kind of why I like what happened with Phantom, because it's like there was consequences. To me, it's like the biggest fail that you created a company and took no measure for what to do if one of its founders, you know, conducted themselves inappropriately. That to me is a huge fail. So the fact that they did that to me speaks a lot about sort of their accountability. I mean, granted, you can also be cynical and say, well, because the article was coming out, so they had to move quickly to save face. Sure.
Yeah.
But the fact that it happened is really what I'm taking away from it. And the thing is, there's been accusations against a lot of big people, right? Like Subhash Pai had a lot of accusations. But in a place like, and again, I always keep referring to my wife as sort of the litmus test of what the casual audience always knows. When I say these things to my wife, she's very much like, oh, really? I had no idea. I talk about Salman Khan and I tell them about everything Salman Khan's done. And yet he's still Salman Khan in 2018 and he did this shit in the 90s. And people are just like, oh, really? And I'm like, yeah, if he could survive that, I really don't have any hope for all these other horrible people. Because again, 5 years from now, we're going to forget all this. 5 years, next year, we're probably, 2020, we're probably going to forget all this. Or the people in the industry are going to forget all this and not give a shit. So I just comes me back with some other dumbass comedy and so on and so on. So that's kind of my cynicism on the whole thing.
I mean, I'm on the same boat as you. I really feel that these sorts of things create a media sort of fueled rage. But at the same time, I think when it comes down to brass tacks, a lot of people are not willing to give to make people go through what they need to go through for having done that to another person. And it's due to various reasons, but also the fact that a lot of perpetrators historically have never really faced consequences for their actions either. Yeah. Not just in India, not just in the entertainment industry, in the Hindi entertainment industry, but globally.
Kevin Spacey is still making weird House of Cards videos. So
is he? Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I'll WhatsApp you for that.
Okay.
All right. So let's move on to, from the Me Too movement, onto something a bit more sort of uplifting. We're going to talk about a little bit, sort of, 2018 saw this sort of weird kind of movies that have been really successful, right? Like, it's movies that kind of defied the formula a little bit, the movies that are kind of very much like, this did well? What? I'm talking about things like, you know, the beginning of the year saw something like Padman, which was, again, a sort of middle-class story. It was a sort of a biopic as well. And then we moved on to other movies, very much sort of detailing the middle-class experience of India. Right? We've got movies more recently, Badhai Ho, Stree, Dhadak, Sui Dhaga, Hitchki, Mulk, all dealing with issues that were very sort of, you know, characters from the middle class, a life that was very much middle class, sometimes even below the poverty line in some cases, like Hitchki. And these movies made money. Right. It wasn't that, again, I'm not talking about, when I say successful, I'm not talking about, you know, my favorite critic loved this movie, or, you know, the Twitter would really, you know, high praises for this movie. I'm talking about they made money, which, you know, brass tacks, that's really all what the industry cares about. So, based on that sort of metric of doing good, why do you think that is? And we also had someone on Twitter, and again, I say I refer to Twitter all the time. We had recently Elisa, who is a friend of the show. She had a tweet out where, you know, as someone who's not, you know, South Asian and watching these Indian movies, she sort of had a question that, you know, when people are talking about the middle class movies doing well, what does that mean? Like, why is that a big deal?
Yeah.
I want to ask is, to you, Sam, why do you think that these stories are now sort of making money? Really?
Well, I think it's because it was a sort of genre that was widely neglected for a long time. Like, if you just look at the timeline of Hindi movies, the 70s and the 80s were about the poor working class that were extracting revenge against, I don't know, some wealthy guy who killed their father or something like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, for sure.
Come on, let's face it. That's what all the 70s and 80s were all about.
Yeah, social justice and social activism. Yeah,
the, and
take
then the 90s,
line your own hands and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and the 90s were just this weird, really bad phase of Hindi cinema.
I think the love stories started kind of cropping up, and then you had thrillers and you had like these weird... Yeah, 90s was weird.
The 90s was just weird, but it was a lot of violence in the 90s, more so than there was in the 70s and the 80s. The 80s sort of had a buildup of violence, and then the 90s became really violent.
I think the 70s sort of romanticized violence.
Yes,
sort of with the uplifting moral super cop sort of genre, and the 90s just went like batshit crazy with it, you know?
They did. It's like they were on acid or something.
Speaking of, actually, quick side tangent. In 2018, I see sort of with the launch of streaming, which is a topic we'll get to later, I find the violence is getting really gratuitous now. Because there's platforms where they can do like gory things and blood and blah blah.
Yeah, because they don't have a sense of the word.
Very turned off,
Yeah.
I just finished Mirzapur, that's where this is coming from.
Oh, right. Well, Sacred Games is pretty violent, you have to admit. A lot of blood and gore.
We'll save that for the review.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah. So cut to the late 90s, which is when, you know, DDLJ, Dil To Pagal Hai, Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, they just completely changed the industry. And then it became about love stories, like completely about love stories. Not a love story between a poor boy and a rich girl whose father, you know, sort of disagrees to the marriage or something like that. And then Karan Johar brought in the NRI films, which were for Indians that were living overseas. And by NRIs, I don't just mean Indians, basically South Asians that were living overseas.
See, we
and
can say NSAs, but that's a different acronym for the US, I think.
Yeah, that's
we don't want to associate with that. No.
No, NRSA, non-resident South Asian.
See, now it sounds like someone that's like a authority figure in a dorm.
So the South Asians that don't live in their countries of origin or something like that. So the movies became about something else altogether. It was about some rich guy that lives in America who's like, whatever, conflicted between his cultural identity, et cetera, et cetera. So again, that focus shifted. And so you have this this huge like demographic that was that sandwiched between the wealthy and between the absolute poor that are neither completely wealthy nor poor, and they have had no representation for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you have these films cropping up that are about them. And so you've had was Bareilly Ki Barfi 2018?
2017.
Was it 2017. So you've had some
great example too, yeah.
Yeah, Toilet Ek Prem Katha, Padman,
Shubh Mangal Savdhan.
Shubh Mangal
Savdhan. All Ayushman Khurrana movies, basically.
Basically all of them. And then even Dangal, to be honest.
Right, very
even
much.
Dangal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Sultan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So all of them were about this group of people that had been not really been represented for a long time. So I think, and then the thing is, with Bollywood, if one formula becomes successful, then it's, let's keep rehashing it until, you know, let's milk this cow for all we can.
That's fair. So you think, I mean, like, for example, so primarily Bollywood back in the day, early 90s to early 2000s, some of us complain about the fact that, you know, the lavishness, the sort of amazing, crazy, you know, helicopter landing on launch pad stories and movies with Gay 3G, and this was unrealistic. That was kind of some, some of us. That was some of our complaints, right? but people ate it up, right? Like people just, it's just money, right? But
money.
So now do you think the audience taste has gone from, you know, escape to relating to the stories they're watching on screen? Like they want to be able to relate to what they're watching? Because again, these movies aren't just making money abroad, right? It's not just, you know, us sitting out of our home countries, you know, in privilege going, I want to see a story about people who are struggling. Even in India, these movies are making money. So now do you think it's gone from like escape to relatability?
It has. You know why? Because it's related to the economic factors that are taking place that are changing Indian society as a whole. Because the Indian economy was opened up to foreign investment in the late 90s, and you had an influx of foreign brands and companies coming in, it really, there was like this burgeoning middle class. More and more people, I think this was a few years ago, but I saw this on the BBC about how more and more people were entering the middle class in India than ever before. So now you have, and now you have people that were previously maybe not middle class that are now, you know, they have an income that sort of justifies a little bit more disposable income, a little bit more, you know, spending on movies, etc., that are spending their money on movies like this.
Sorry, let me unpack for a second, because economics and math and numbers aren't really my strong suit. So what you're saying is basically these movies are more people are finding these movies more relatable because people are entering the middle class more nowadays with foreign investment and basically with the uplifting of their social statuses. So that makes sense, because again, a lot of these movies sort of do speak to that, right? They do speak to, like, you know, when you watch these movies, social media is prevalent in these movies. I'm thinking about Secret Superstar, for example, another movie that kind of last year that took advantage of, you know, social media in a way, but very middle class still. It wasn't like these are rich people, you know, influencer on Instagram or anything like that. So that does make sense. I mean, I guess also with internet, but it's nice to see. Do you personally, like, I love this. I love that we're getting to see stories about real people, and not only are they good, like, I can name to you 20 movies from 15 years ago that I personally loved, which were all flops because they feature stories like these. You know, sort of real pain, real struggle, real people. But at the time, flops. Every single one of them. Because people didn't give a shit.
I mean, I also think it's a lot to do with how the movies were constructed as well. Like, if we remember back in the days, if there was a movie about the working class or if there was a movie about the middle class, it was always very dramatic in the sense that the melodrama was so enhanced. It's like, oh my god, I am poor, like my life is terrible, Bhagwan, save me, you know. And then you would have Nirupa Roy, who was always blind, and then, you know, it's just
nice.
It was always, you could never be of a certain class without being slapped with that stereotype. I mean, and nowadays you have movies about people that just happen to be middle class, but it's about their love life. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, Love Per Square Foot. If you think about it, the story was not so much about Vicky Kaushal's background. It was just the fact that he didn't like staying with his parents and he just wanted his own independence and space.
It wasn't done in a derogatory, condescending way that, like, he's poor, his life is shit. It was very much like the pursuit of ambition, right? Like,
exactly.
He wants to better his life through his ambition, through his work, through his career. And that was kind of the plot of the movie. I get what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, and I personally, I think I like that. I think I enjoy, like, I haven't seen it, so you know, don't call me on it. I will watch it when it comes out on Amazon Prime, courtesy of Kathy Gibson. Thank you very much. Sui Dhaga, this movie, which really seems to center around, you know, entrepreneurship, right? From that middle class mentality that, hey, you can start your own business. You can kind of contribute to the economy. You can make your station in life better on your own terms, right?
Exactly, exactly.
And I love those messages. Hitchkey, same thing with kids and education, right? That no matter where you're from, if you're getting a shot at education, if you put in the effort, you can be whatever you want. There's a scene where Rani Mukherjee literally says that to the kids, because half those kids are like, well, we're poor, so we're going to end up being a delivery boy or working in a garage or something. And she's like, no, education is your window into a better life. So I like that. I like that as people, because growing up, my biggest frustration with the South Asian people, I'm going to say brown people, was the mentality. And I find, and the reason why I love movies is I find entertainment has a huge sort of power to change opinions and insights and you know, and influence people's way of thinking. So if that's where Bollywood's headed right now, you know,
It's
I'm
great,
all for it. Like I'm gonna, I'll pick it, I'll put up a sign, like I'm advocating all of this.
Like, I mean, if you take Bareilly Ki Barfi as an example, it was about a guy who's really who likes a girl, but then he just fibs his way through the whole thing by getting someone to pretend that he wrote a book when in fact it was him. Like the middle class backgrounds of these characters was just incidental, really.
Exactly. That wasn't what the story was about. They just happened to be that.
They just happen to be middle class. I mean, Kriti Sanon's parents own a sweet shop, and her father is, you know, they're not trying to show her parents, or especially her father, as like this misogynistic sort of very patriarchal type of man. He's very, you know, he's very concerned about his daughter, but he's more concerned about is she finding the right person for herself? Which, yeah.
I also like that with these movies, we're getting to a situation where we're not demonizing sort of old-fashioned thinking. Like,
No.
there's sort of this perspective with certain movies where it's like, if you think that women should work and, you know, stay in the kitchen, and women should only tend to their husband's needs, there was a mentality where it's like, that person is evil. You know, they're the antagonist of the story because they think like that. And it's like, no, there's a lot of people that have those thoughts, but they're not, you know, overtly malicious people. That's just how they're just from a different time, a different culture. They were raised a
And
different
that's how
way.
they've been
They're
conditioned,
not terrible people. They just don't know any better. So I like that these movies really not humanize, but they just present those characters as they are. That, yeah, this person thinks in ways that we might roll our eyes at on Twitter. We might mock, you know, on social media that, oh, my grandma. But they're not doing it in very malicious or you know, horrible. They're not a horrible person for thinking that way. They're just from a different time. So I do like that, you know, we're getting to see those sort of real characters like that.
Unless you're talking about Badrinath Ki Dulhania, which was a very
No.
weird
Me and Kathy ranted about
fucked
that on
up.
one entire episode. We're not dedicating more time to that movie.
I'll tell you what, I watched it recently and I was just like,
Yes.
okay.
Go back and listen to that episode of me and Kathy where we lost our shit for like a good
Oh yeah,
hour.
no, I heard that episode. I was and I hadn't watched it at that point in time, so I was like, this gives me food for thought. And then I watched the movie recently and I was like, ooh.
All right, so now I want to, so piggybacking off this conversation, I want to ask, we just talked about, you know, why the middle class movies are really good and have been really successful. Let's cut back. Let's go the opposite way now, right? I want to ask you, Sam, we've had some big flops this year. Like, as surprising as it is that these middle class movies and you know, Aishwarya Khurana movies, Rajkumar Rao movies did really good, we had massive flops. We had flops from sort of every category, every kind of con, every kind of actor, every kind of story, every kind of budget. We've got things like, you know, most recently, I don't know if, I don't know what the commercial status of Zero is so far because it just came out maybe, I think, a month ago, less than a month ago. But Thugs of Hindustan, one of the biggest budgeted movies, starring Aamir Khan and Amitabh Bachchan for the first time ever, a flop.
Was most
Race
definitely a
3,
flop,
massive franchise, massive following, Salman Khan, Anil Kapoor, all these elements of, you know, young actors, old actors, popular actors, masala, everything, flop. Gold, biopic, Akshay Kumar, king of biopics, amazing director, Rima Kakdi, flop. Fane Khan, Anil Kapoor's made a career out of being supporting roles, his first lead role, and then he's got Aishwarya Rai Bachchan to kind of support him, and then you throw in Rajkumar Rao, flop. Surprise, not surprisingly, Welcome to New York, I mean, if you want to say that star power rules the box office, Welcome to New York was this weird movie that crammed in every single star you could possibly think of in Bollywood, and the movies about Bollywood and making it in Bollywood, flop. What the hell happened?
I don't know. I think it's just it's I really don't know, to be honest. I think, I mean, if I try and sort of put some words around it, I would say that maybe people are a little bit more aware of what they're watching. Maybe people are a lot more conscious of, because of the proliferation of social media, people are a lot more careful about what they're spending the money on. Like, if a film looks shit, they're not gonna go watch it. Honestly, I mean, okay.
I know
what you're saying. But, like, think about this. Race 3. Now, Salman Khan, as we know, whatever, you know, he may be a complete train wreck off screen, you know. But on screen...
That's being so generous.
he is a complete train wreck off screen. But on screen, he is a sure shot... You know, he's very commercially viable,
right?
Like,
yes.
People that produce his movies know, yeah, that his movies sell, and he has a huge fan following, like, yeah. Ridiculous. His stardom is immense in India, and then you've had Race 3 completely flop, and then, you know, Indian fans being as passionate as they are. Someone actually wrote an open letter saying, like, you know, I'm so disappointed in you, Salman. I'm so angry that you would produce. Yes, no, someone did. They actually wrote an open letter saying, I went to support your film. I bought tickets. I took my whole family, but I hated the film. How can you make a film like this, Salman? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, we've spoken about this personally as well, Shah. Like, we've spoken about the fact that Indian fans are so passionate about the stars that they follow that they will actually get angry and write, like,
yeah,
open letters to their stars telling them that they've made a shit film, etc., etc.
I've written open letters too. Okay, calm down. Not to stars, to the public.
Oh, to the public. To the public.
I had, remember when that AIB thing happened?
Yeah.
The AIB comedy roast thing that everyone got so upset about. I wrote an open letter to, like, everyone that got upset by that. I'm like, listen, to paraphrase my 1,000-word article was, listen, calm the fuck down. If you don't want to watch it, change the channel. That was really summing it up. But I was really mad at the time.
So you were a regular inflamed South Asian.
I was so mad. I'm like, you people need to calm down. Enough is enough.
But at the same time, and then, you know, Aamir Khan had to personally apologize for Tugs of Hindustan. It's insane. Yeah. I mean, the man was starred in the film, and yes, fine. Like, he is a bit of a shot caller. He calls the shot sometimes. He may have had some dealings with the scripting of the film, etc. But for goodness sake, it's like, you cannot put the onus entirely on Aamir Khan for the film being a flop. It's ridiculous. But the man had to actually go and apologize to his fans, saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I disappointed you. I'm sorry I made such a crap film. And I don't know. I mean, I really don't understand why those sorts of films didn't do well this year. And even Zero was supposed to be Shah Rukh Khan's big release this year.
Okay.
And Zero was supposed to be Shah Rukh Khan's big release this year, and that also sort of bombed.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's no rhyme or reason to me in my eyes, because audiences have lapped up these sorts of movies before without a single complaint.
Yes.
And now it's, yeah.
I think it's not surprising to me that these movies are flopping. What's surprising to me is that, sorry, let me rephrase. It's not surprising to me that these movies are bad. It's surprising to me that they're flopping.
That they're flopping. Yeah.
Because so many bad movies of these people, maybe with the exception
have
of
done well.
Khan, have done so well.
You
know, so notably Salman Khan, more than anyone else. Salman Khan, who's sort of, sorry, one second, my cat decided to come visit. Salman Khan,
okay.
This is him. Say hi. This is Wizard. I love that. It's possibly the first thing I'll put on YouTube, and everyone's coming to visit. I'm getting drinks coming down. By the way, this drink is not alcoholic. I don't know how YouTube monetization works, so. it's juice, okay, YouTube? So, I'm not surprised that these movies are bad. I'm just really surprised that people aren't taking this shit anymore, if that makes sense. Like, I'm loving that people are just like, this is garbage. I don't want this. Zero, I have so many thoughts. I never understood why this movie why anyone was looking forward to this movie. excuse me. I saw the trailer of this movie. First of all, when I heard about the movie, I'm like, okay, so he's going to be a CGI little person. Why do I care? Yeah. First of all, why is he doing that? And secondly, why do I care about that? Then the trailer came out, and the trailer makes that character, little person or not, look like a dick.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, again, why would I want to watch this movie? Like, if you take away the novelty that he's, you know, a dwarf, what else is there in this movie for me to give a crap about? Like, I know a lot of people are praising the special effects. Great. But again, I don't watch a movie for special effects.
No.
I don't watch a movie to see how amazing the technology... Like, oh, those trees look so... Like, I'm not going to watch Lion King for... There's individual hairs on the lion's head. Oh, my God. Like, that's not why I'm watching Lion King, right? Like, you got to give me something to root for. You got to give me something to infamously that I'm known for tearing up, you know, or bawling like a little baby. Like, I don't understand what the hype about Zero really was. I don't want any film to really fail, but I'm kind of glad it failed. But, sorry, coming back to the point. Now, I'm going to ask you a question that I know is going to trigger the crap out of you.
Okay. Right?
Because I want your rant on film, on camera, on audio for everyone, what you did to me on WhatsApp. Okay? Sam.
Oh, yes.
Do you think...
Yes, I am ready.
That with the failure of these movies by the big cons, do you think that signals a rise of... You know, new age actors like Ayushman Khurrana, Vicky Kaushal, given that their movies were so successful this year, but the major big Bollywood stars' movies flopped. What are your thoughts?
Okay, I'm just going to breathe in for a second. And then exhale. And then let loose. Okay, in a word, no. I'm sorry, but the Khans are established movie stars. We may not like them personally. We may not agree with everything they do off screen. We may not like anything about them. But you cannot deny their stardom in a place like India, especially to a public that will continue giving their favorite stars hundreds of chances to redeem themselves. I mean, these are the fans may write open letters about, you know, like, I am personally offended that you made such a bad film, stars may apologize, etc., but they are more than willing to go and patronize their favorite stars' films again and again in the hope that these people are redeeming themselves. These people get hundreds of chances at redemption. So, what I think really pisses me off the most... is how people are saying that because Ayushman's films and Vicky Kaushal's films and Rajkumar's films are doing well, they must be the new Khans. I'm sorry, but no. That is a very laughable notion. Okay, that is not true. They are nowhere ever... Okay, let's not say they're nowhere ever going to reach that level, because they may in the future. But as of right now, they're nowhere near the level that these three... male actors have assumed. And also, let's not forget, they're not the only three. I mean, I don't know why people keep talking about the Khans films are failing, so the industry is going to, like, whatever, stop functioning. But, I mean, they failed, but there are other actors, apart from Vicky Kaushal, apart from Ayushman Khurrana, apart from Rajkumar Rao, that are doing very well for themselves. I mean, Ranbir Kapoor had such a great year with Sanju. His film did so well, and his performance was appreciated all across the board. Ranveer Singh, I mean, have you seen the taste? I mean, he's had Simba, and he had Padmavat. He was great in. Simba, I haven't seen personally, but I have heard many people praising his performance, and the fact that he's so versatile. He went from playing like this, I don't know, this warrior king to like this maska lagana wala sort of cop.
His version of Singham, basically.
Yeah, his version of Singham. The fact that he can flip between genres so much. And also Gully Boy. Have you seen the teaser of Gully Boy?
No.
Not yet, but he's okay. It looks really promising, and he looks great in it. And I feel that's another movie that he's gonna hit it out of the park. So there are other actors. Varun Dhawan. What did he have this year? Suidhaga. His performance was appreciated. Their films are doing well. In my opinion, these people are the natural quote unquote successors to the Khans. And I don't know why people are saying, oh, Vicky Kaushal is doing well, so he must be the next Shah Rukh Khan. Like, please, bitch, no.
I'm sorry. I don't want anyone to think that I'm being rude or like disrespecting your answers. It's just that I heard this rant in text form, so it's really great for me to hear this like live, in person. And
I mean,
I'm kind of disappointed that you didn't do like the neck crank and the snap. I'm a little upset by that, but it's okay. I've learned to digress.
I did do bitch no, so
that makes up for it. okay.
Do you want me to do bitch please as well? Because I'll do that too. I'll be bitch please.
I don't even know how much of this will make it to the final cut of it. I'm trying to monetize on YouTube. I don't know how iTunes feels about bitch. We'll see.
Seriously, I don't know why people are correlating.
Lauren also had October this year.
Which was
good critically, but failed commercially.
It failed commercially, but it did. It was good for him in terms of his portfolio. In terms of his portfolio. So I mean, there are other actors that are actually more in tune with what or whom you would consider A-list that have done very well for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why Ayushman Khurrana, Vicky Kaushal, and Rajkumar Rao are being correlated to the Khan's failure and saying that these are the people that will upstage the Khan's. I just don't know where this connection is coming in from.
Okay, I'll give you like my idealistic hopeful theory.
Okay,
and I'll give you
cynical
like I hate the world theory. First of all, I think. Okay, let's go with the cynical first. I think this reaction is very much clickbaity TMZ style of hyperbole.
Okay, yeah.
Where it's like, you've got the top people, you've got someone who kind of does a little bit better than expected, so immediately what gets you sales, what gets you clicks, what gets you views is to compete and have those people in rivalry, right? For you to go, is he that new Shah Rukh Khan? I remember when Shahid Kapoor came out, it's juice.
Yeah.
I remember when Shahid Kapoor came out, a lot of comparisons were made with him and Shah Rukh Khan. It was because, again, he had the baby face, he was young, he was scrawny, he was very charming. So I remember a lot of people going, is he the next Shah Rukh Khan? And it's like, no, he clearly wasn't.
And don't forget Hrithik Roshan. Remember when Kahona Pyar Hai released and he was like, oh my god, there was such a craze for him. And people were like, yeah, he's gonna replace Shah Rukh Khan.
Do you remember the rivalry between Shah Rukh and Hrithik in the tabloids at that point? Again, this is predating
so
when I used to read hard copies of Stardust and Filmfare. And then I think it came out that Suzanne and Gauri were friends, and then that's when everyone was like, oh, I guess they're not beefing.
I'm disappointed.
Right. I think that's just sort of the media. That's where they want to go, right? They want to just pit someone against someone established and make that comparison, draw that line to sell those copies and get those subscriptions, get those views. My hopeful idealistic reaction is what I told you on WhatsApp. Do you find that, and again, I feel this way, right? Do you feel that this reaction stems from wanting that change, right? Like people are hopeful that, yes, we're hoping that these talented young actors will change the industry a little bit, that we want to get quality over stardom. We want to, you know, get script over actor. Story versus, you know, mainstream commercial box office appeal. And hopefully these young guys who are taking those risks, who are doing the movie not for, you know, what kind of clothes do I get to wear? What kind of action do I need to do? No, they get to play these roles because what's my character? What's the story? What's my motivation? What's the script? Where does it go? That hopefully this will change the way veteran actors look at, you know, choosing projects, right? They don't just go with their best friend who's a director. They don't just go with the producer that has, you know, the most successes under their belt. They don't go with the actress who's the hottest thing right now. They go with the content, right? So that would be my sort of idealistic reaction, that I'm hoping things go that way. I know from my years of being a Shah Rukh Khan sort of fan that he's very affected by box office figures. I know when something flops, when he tries something new and it doesn't work out, I know he reassesses his way of choosing movies. He did it when his first production company flopped, Dreams Unlimited with Juhi. So I know that he's a very sort of reflective actor, and I hope he takes these movies. You know, what was the movie he did with Aaliyah?
Dear Zindagi. Yeah,
that was, I think, one of his most best roles in recent times.
Exactly.
And then you look at Zero, and it's kind of like, bro, can you just do more of that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Harry Met Sejal, he had the same sort of situation, right? It didn't do that well critically or commercially. So it's like, can you relook at your career and just do things that work versus things that don't? Aamir Khan, I have nothing against him and Flux of the Sun Failing. He's given us so many good movies in the last 10 years that I'm like, you know what? The guy is due for a flop, really. So no complaints on that end. Salman Khan, like, he's always sort of the dark horse where it's like you want him to do well, but he doesn't, so I don't really have any hope for him. But yeah, these movies, I really hope that this kind of, the audience, clearly, as we mentioned before, with the middle class movies being successful, the audience is changing.
And I think that's already happening, right? That's already happening, because 2018 has been a year of massive change in the industry. Mm-hmm. And we've seen so many of these movies which you would have previously thought would not have been successful do well at the box office.
Right, exactly. So we've kind of touched upon everything from what the industry did this year, what happened this year, to where we want it to go beyond this year. Mm-hmm. Let's get into something a bit more fun, maybe. I gotta ask you, Sam, we've had a lot of debuts this year, you know, with varying results. So I'm just going to rapid fire, quickly go through some of the, oh, did I say that? Oh, that was an accident. That's not. That's trademark infringement. We shouldn't say that. That's copyrighted by someone else. All right. So some of the debuts this year, I'm gonna quickly just go list them off for you. Let me know what you think. I don't know if you've seen the movies. I haven't seen a lot of these movies. I've seen some of them, but I just want to discuss, you know, what we think about these debuts. So the number one, first of all, we've got here Ayush Sharma, which is Salman Khan's brother-in-law. Okay, calm down. Let me finish first before you scoff. Ayush Sharma and Vareena Hossain in Love Yatri. Did you get a chance to watch that movie? It's on Amazon Prime right now.
No. I mean, no, I haven't watched the movie.
You seem so upset about it.
Yeah. No, I haven't watched the movie. I really don't know, to be honest. The music was good.
Weirdly enough, right? The music was good.
The music was good. I'm not going to rush to watch a film like that.
Right.
I don't know what else to say.
So you know what's weird?
Mm.
I go on to IMDb, right?
Yeah.
As I do, to find credits of these actors and actresses and things like that. Love Yatri, for some reason, has each music video from the song, from the movie, listed in its own entry with its own sort of cast and crew and things like that. And Vareena Hossain, who's had no other debuts, if you go into her page, it says known for, and it's just those entries of songs from Love Yatri.
Oh, that is so weird.
It's so weird. This is like the weirdest thing. But you saw some of the music song videos, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's do something that I hate when other people do, which is let's make some snap judgments about actors based on not seeing their movies.
Okay.
So Ayush Sharma, just from the trailer alone that I saw.
Yeah.
I feel like I mentioned this in another show, but this might have been some of the failed shows that didn't work out, led to my breakdown. I personally think he's very much, you know, he learned acting from the Salman Khan School of Acting, which is, first of all, the guy has a deeper voice than you would think he does based on how he looks. If you saw the trailer, he's got like this deep voice and you're like, whoa, did not expect that at all. The choreography in some of the song, in all the song videos, are again very much Salman Khan choreography, where it's like he's not doing a lot, but it looks really good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like he's just raising his leg and then dropping it angular to his body, but it's like this is like the best dance move in the world. Like, I want to do this at the next Desi wedding. But yeah, that's kind of my takeaway. I mean, whereas Vareena Hossain to me looks really unique. Like, she has a look that I think is very different than most debutants. I don't know if it's the color of her eyes or what, but yeah, that's kind of my takeaway from that, from not seeing the movie. What did you think?
Well, I remember watching the trailer of this movie and just thinking, LOL.
Fair enough.
Coming back okay,
to what we're talking about, it very much looks like a 90s love story, right?
Where it does. It does. And the thing that struck me was the fact that you have, the focus was entirely on Ayush Sharma, you know, being Salman Khan's brother-in-law and debuting, etc. And my takeaway was that I actually felt kind of sorry for Wareena, because I was like, I'm pretty sure she's going to be sort of forgotten in the promos or even afterwards. Because I was pretty, I guess I would say, I just had this gut that the movie would not do well. And then when it didn't, I thought, this guy is going to get more chances, because let's face it, he will. Yep, he will. Because Salman Khan is his brother-in-law. He's going to keep financing movies with him in it and shove him down the audience's throats. But her, we don't know. I mean, she, I don't even know what her background is. Was she a model previously? I don't know anything about her. And that's what you, that's like, nobody really knows a whole lot about her. So is she going to be seen again? Is she going to get a second chance? Is she going to... Because I don't actually know how well her performance was received either. I didn't really read the reviews because most of them... So I don't know. But my main takeaway from this was in fact, tied in with pretty much with what a lot of people think about nepotism, which is that sometimes, you know, people keep getting second chances and some people just fade out.
The next debut was, and this is a movie I have seen, so shut up, people, Janhvi Kapoor and Ishan Khattar from Dhadak. I know you got a chance to see Dhadak, right? If I'm not...
Yeah, I did. No, I did go and see it. Yeah.
So what did you think about Janhvi Kapoor, who obviously is, you know, unfortunately now infamously known as Sridevi's daughter, and Ishan Khattar, who not so famously is basically Shahid Kapoor's half-brother?
Half-brother, yeah,
yes.
Half-brother.
You would know more than I would. Yes.
So I actually, you know, the movie has its flaws, obviously, and I haven't seen the original Sairat. There was supposed to be a remake of, so I cannot compare the two. But
coming soon,
I think.
Podcast.
But I think Ishan, between the both of them, Ishan was a stronger.
Really.
Performance, but Ishan was a stronger actor to me, because I actually also have partly seen Beyond the Clouds, which was his original debut film, by the way. Right. That was his actual debut, and Dharak is his second film. But I think he was really good in Beyond the Clouds, and I think he's just a little bit more intuitive and natural in front of the camera than Janhvi is. But Janhvi has potential, I think. I mean, if she works a little bit on her diction and her Hindi, which by the way has actually improved quite a lot, she could go very, very far. Yeah, but can I just say, I stan Janhvi because of her off-screen personality, because she's so humble and down-to-earth. Sorry, I just have to say it, because she's just such a sweetheart.
Yes, and you, I blame you for completely getting me on that train as well. First of all, I don't know who it was. It was one of you guys that taught me what stan meant. And I don't stand Janhvi Kapoor.
It wasn't me. I don't think it was me.
I don't think it was you. It was someone. I still blame you because we're all mutuals, and it's probably your fault somehow. I don't stand Janhvi. But I think I'm okay. So I have the complete opposite reaction of you from Dharak.
Oh really?
I think Ishan had the easier role of playing the sort of young, naive, idealistic, likable, charming guy. Whereas I think Janhvi had the harder role of, for her debut, being right away confident, arrogant, very cocky, very self-assured. So I think that's really harder to pull off in your debut than being...
I think the inexperience
plays into the character for Ishan.
And then her character broke down when the shit hit the fan.
Right. So I think that's a lot harder to play. as your debut, as the sort of first movie that you've ever seen. And with John V, the one thing I also kind of realized, which, not to go into the nepotism debate too much, but there is something to be said for actors who, either through intention or by accident, have grown up in the limelight and then decide to pursue that limelight intentionally. Janhvi Kapoor, because of the fact that she's Sridevi's daughter, she's obviously spent a lot of time, you know, on camera. She's been to events where she's had her picture taken, and she's been in front of tabloid magazines, and she's, you know, gotten her photos printed, and she's every reaction of hers has been scrutinized, and blah, 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 blah. So when she came on in front of the camera for Dhadak, I felt like she had a lot, it was a lot easier for her to be comfortable on camera than you would someone who's, you know, a no-name struggling actor who's made it.
Exactly. I mean, you don't see a Wareena Hussain like landing a Vogue cover before the movie even releases, right?
Well, let's not talk about Shah Rukh Khan's daughter, okay?
No, Wareena Hussain.
No, I know, but she also got a
The Suhana. Sorry, I forgot about that. Actually,
wait, we don't want to talk about it right now. But yes, I definitely. I mean, there is something to be said for someone who is. Whose personal lives automatically is in front of the camera, and then they choose to pursue that professionally, versus someone who decides to make a career out of that and then gets on camera for the first time in a big way, right? So I had the complete opposite reaction than you. I really like Janhvi's screen presence. I think if she continues this, I think she's really going to go far. I think she's really in that sort of Alia Bhatt school of acting, where she's so comfortable in front of the camera that her talent seems really high. But then you come down to her off-screen persona, and she's really sort of oblivious to the fame and the star quality that accompanies what she does professionally. And again, Alia, I find, always kind of gives me those vibes too, where it's like she's this big famous actor, but then when you talk to her off-screen or in interviews, it's like she doesn't know that she's a big famous actor. You know what I mean? Like, she acts very sort of like, I'm a kid and this is my life. And Janhvi seems very much like that.
Yeah.
Which I admire, which I appreciate. But yeah, I definitely think both those guys had a pretty good debut. I hope Ishan chooses to do more movies like Beyond the Clouds and stay on sort of that indie track. I don't need to see him bare his shirt like Shahid Kapoor. So I really hope he doesn't take tips from his brother.
One Kapoor brother doing that is enough.
Yeah, I mean, because Shahid was really that. Shahid had a lot of potential, but I feel like he squandered that. And as someone who has my last name, I'm really, really upset about that. So, all right, moving on to the next debut of Bollywood in 2018, we had Sara Ali Khan, who is a bona fide star kid. Her first movie debut was Kedarnath, which, from what I've heard, has done pretty well critically, but has been more or less average to just recovering its money commercially. I'm not 100% sure on that, so don't quote me. But her performance was really appreciated, from what I understand. And excuse me, I haven't seen Kedarnath. I haven't seen Simba. I did see Akmare.
Yeah.
And she's aight. Sam, what did you think about Sara Ali Khan? I know I'm pissing off a lot of people right now with my meh reaction, including Sal on Twitter.
I really like Sara Ali Khan. She, and again, maybe I should insulate myself from their off-screen interviews and stuff like that, but I don't. So watching her in her interviews, watching her on Coffee with Karan, watching her, you know, basically paint the town red with Ranveer Singh and the Simba promotions, like, that was just that was wacky. Have you seen that? Like, they're just like,
I've seen something on Twitter with her being ridiculous, and I feel like that would, I feel like that'll take away any opinion I have from her so far. So I decided to just keep scrolling.
It's just so nice to see someone let loose like that. You know what I mean? Especially a female lead, because they're usually so poised and composed, and they sort of have to be, because, you know, there's an incredibly judgmental sort of media out there. But the fact that she, I'm going to say something which might set off a few people, but to have a mainstream actress nowadays that is very, can speak fluent Hindi, can actually mouth her dialogues properly and can, you know, like, for example, in Simba, in the Akmare song, she said that she looked at a lot of old songs of Lolo. For those that don't know, Lolo is Karishma Kapoor.
That took me a second, too, to be completely honest.
Yeah, of Karishma Kapoor to, like, you know, get those expressions with the dialogue, with the lyrics of the song, etc. For a mainstream actress today to be that well-versed in that, while also being very mature and grounded, which Sara Ali Khan is. So I mean, I like her. She's got spark, that girl. And also, she says a lot of funny things. I mean, this is sort of verging into gossip, so you're just going to, like, your face is just going to go blank right now. Yeah, your face is gonna go blank right now, but, like, I've never seen someone be this funny about this. So on Coffee with Karan, like, Saif Ali Khan said how, like, Sara Ali Khan used to talk about marrying Ranbir Kapoor, and then, like, she was just like, haha, yeah. And then she goes on a radio show and she says, yeah, I used to want to marry him like 3 years ago, but I can't be rude now, so when my dad mentioned it, I was just like, yeah, but it's not the case. and then someone mentioned, like, you know, like, oh, is it because you're friends with Alia Bhatt? And she was like, nahi, matlab wo to kuch nahi hai, aajkal to wo sab chalta hai. And that was just for those that don't understand Hindi, she was basically saying, you know, going out with someone with an ex of your BFF is not really a, you know, it's sort of, that sort of just goes nowadays. So, okay, but seriously, I find her really funny.
So I think I'm going to hold off on my reaction on Sara Ali Khan until I see either of these movies first. So, I mean, I have kind of an issue when someone sort of becomes a deferred star, which seems to be the case in Sara Ali Khan. I mean, and again, like I said, once I watch her movies, I'm gonna defer my judgment until I watch her movies. And again, once I watch her movies, I might be like, oh my god, this girl's the best thing in the world. But I kind of have a problem when the industry decides to just make someone a star, based on, you know, her lineage, who she is, and the amount of films she's signed already. That's kind of my problem. Before Kedarnath even released, which is her debut film, she signed, you know, a total of 3 movies already. There's all this hype about her. And again, she might be deserving of all of it, right? Like, I'm not even saying that, oh no, blah, 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 blah. But it's kind of like, for me, it's like, can we at least wait to see her on screen and see what her performance is like? Which is what I'm going to do. For me, also, from what I've heard of her, is that... Shut up. That was my cat, sorry.
Okay.
From what I've heard of her is that she sort of used to be kind of big before. And she's kind of, I don't know, like, the vibe I get from Sara Ali Khan, which, again, once I watch the movies, I will gladly, happily retrace all these comments and take everything back. But the vibe I get from her is that she's very much sort of a cookie cutter actress, that she, you know, she used to be big, she slimmed down, she became hot, she's all pretty and nice now, because she decided to become an actress, which kind of I have a problem with. Like, if you're someone that, you know, wanted to do something and that's kind of what you're doing, that's great. But if you had to transform everything about yourself physically or you know, internally, outwardly, whatever, to do the thing that your parents did, it just kind of seems like, it seems like mass production, if you know what I mean. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like this person has something unique. It just seems like, okay, you've just been churned out by the machine that makes actresses or actors in the industry. So again, like I said, this is my thoughts and comments based on her reception by the public, by audiences, even before her first film came out. I haven't seen her first film. Once I see that, once I see Simba, I'm never watching Simba. But once I see Kedarnath, I might completely have a different reaction. She might be deserving of all the hype, but I just don't like that. I don't like that someone can just come out of a machine and be spit up as all the sort of things that make a Bollywood actor.
I mean, so I think that a lot of industry people go gaga over people that haven't even debuted yet. Because, I mean, if you look at the fact that some of the filmmakers that signed her up for whatever, second film, third film, some of them might have actually, because they all know each other, might have already seen rushes of her first film before.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know. Because we're the public and we don't get that level of access. At the same time, you know, the industry is just, I mean, if anyone remembers when Tiger Shroff debuted with Baghi, I remember someone actually, whoever produced it, it was one of those big, Sajid Nadiadwala. He was the one that produced Baghi. He just said, and I mean, he actually had the guts to stand in front of a room full of journalists and go, when Tiger was born, I told his dad that I would always produce his first film. That's what he actually said. And that's the industry in a nutshell. They're just like, And I mean, I can rest assure you that Keijo already has a plan to launch Taimur Ali Khan, probably with his own daughter.
Okay, so here's how much you're rubbing off on me. I was thinking of a Taimur comment before you said that. This is bad. This is really bad. Let's get to the next couple of debuts of 2018. We had Dulquer Salmaan and Mithila Parker in Karwaan with Irfan Khan. Another movie I haven't seen. I really should. It's on Amazon. I really need to watch this movie. It's kind of one of my must-watches of the year. I remember from the trailer alone, Dulquer was also another guy who sort of impressed me just with the trailer. I was very much kind of like interested in the movie after. I mean, he is a South superstar. He's the son of a South superstar. He's in a lot of movies in the South industry. This is his first Bollywood debut. So he's by no means a new actor, but he's definitely a new Bollywood actor. That's why he's on this list. Did you see Karwaan? Did you get a chance to check these guys out at all?
No, I haven't seen Karwaan, but I remember I watched the trailer and I felt I was impressed. And he seems, I really like him. He's very charming, actually.
Right, and just from the trailer alone, he seems like such a cool guy. Like, it's like, I want to watch this movie for him alone.
I mean, yeah, exactly. He seems like a really cool guy. And I actually do want to watch his films. And I want to see him do more. I don't know if you know this, Shah, but he was actually supposed to do Abhishek Bachchan's role in Man Marzia. He was supposed to do it, but then I don't know what happened, and then
Abhishek can do that role.
And then Abhishek ended up doing it. And then Abhishek ended up doing it. So
good. Yeah, good for Abhishek. Mithila Parker actually got her rise from like a web series that she did, apparently. And again, she definitely seems interesting in the movie. The trailer didn't really show me anything about her. But along the same trend, the other debut this year was Banita Sandhu in October alongside Varun Dhawan. She's definitely someone that I would like to see in more movies. She seems like, I mean, if this is her debut, it's kind of an interesting choice for a debut. I haven't seen the movie. I feel like she does a lot more in the movie itself, which I'm really interested to see. But I know she's a model. I know she's a very well-known face that's kind of had some sort of acclaim and sort of recognition. Did you get a chance to see October at all?
No, another movie I haven't seen. I haven't also watched so many
Prime
movies.
I feel like this episode is sponsored by Amazon Prime, but it's really not. I wish it was.
For only $2.99 a month, you can get...
Those are New Zealand prices. It's a lot more expensive here in North America.
Yeah.
$2.99.
No.
What is your currency?
I haven't seen that film, but I do think she impressed me in the trailer. She did impress me in the trailer. So I think, and considering she was, I don't know, I don't really know her story too much, but she was kind of just plucked out of nowhere and just debuted with this movie. And she doesn't know Hindi, but...
That hasn't stopped Katrina Kaif, and it shouldn't stop anyone else, okay?
It really shouldn't, but I was just laughing at myself.
Or Saif Ali
Khan,
by the way. Who also didn't know Hindi when he first entered the industry.
True, true.
Which no one talks about. I don't know why Katrina gets so much crap for that.
Yeah, I remember Seth's earlier movies where he had a very noticeable accent while talking. Tumko kya lagta hai? But
at least he said ole ole perfectly fine. Okay.
So I think Benita Sandhu is, she's got a lot of potential. I really hope she does more films. I don't think she's been signed on for anything post-October. And she wasn't a significant part of the promotions of that film either. That film barely had any promotions, to be honest.
All right, Sam. So the next thing we're getting into now is your sort of expertise, your area of expertise. So you wrote this article for Bollywood, which, by the way, everybody go on to Bollywood.com and take a look at this article where basically, Sam, you talk about how Bollywood actresses, these Bollywood actresses that got married, and basically how they...
Yeah.
You know what? Why don't I just let you tell people what the article is about?
Okay. All right.
That makes more
sense. I wrote this article about how 2018 was a year for actresses that got married, but more importantly, it was a year about actresses that got married that are still having impactful careers. Like, it was touching on how marriage is no longer a deterrent like it used to be back in the day for women and their professional lives. It talked about how a lot of these women are creating opportunities for themselves by producing films, and how busy they've all been this year. It also spoke about how this is a way forward for a lot of the female lead actresses in the industry, and how you're also getting great opportunities for the actresses that have been married for a while as well. And how this sort of influences also the Me Too movement. So I don't know. I mean, I wrote a lot. It was just a lot of like typing.
Which, by the way, I gotta thank Jay, who is, I want to say, the founder of Bollywood.com, for giving you that outlet. Because otherwise, Jay, I get that in WhatsApp messages. So it's really cool that, I mean, I think you should do more of that. I think you should put more of your reactions into articles than sending me WhatsApp messages, because a lot of it is
like filled with rage. Filled with rage. Listen. Vicky Gosham is not the next Sherlock.
I just feel like a Dion vibe. All right.
Yeah.
I just realized it takes me every couple of minutes. Whenever we have these sort of tangents, I realize that people are watching now.
It's crazy.
So I read this article, and there's, you make a lot of crazy connections to things that I never thought of. First of all, your entire premise for this article, the fact that, you know, leading female actresses are getting married and still working.
Yes.
I never thought that was a thing until you mentioned it, because you're absolutely right. Back in the day, and for whatever reason, that premise immediately made me think about Abhiman with Amitabh Bachchan and Jaya Bhadri at the time, where she became this popular star and singer, but she had to pretend like she wasn't married in order to be taken seriously, or in order to be appealing to audiences. Which is kind of what happens, right, in this industry, where I guess the logic is, if you want male fans or female fans wanting you or desiring you or finding you appealing and attractive, you can't be attached or married or you know, perceived to be with another member of the opposite sex, because that takes away from that attraction and appeal. But you're absolutely right. These guys are doing it. Deepika, Anushka. Definitely, I would suggest everyone to check out the article. It's on Bollywood.com. It speaks to so many things. It relates to so many 90s actresses who have gone the complete opposite way, and it gives you this idea of what the industry was like prior to these incidents of these three weddings that happened within the span of a year. Everyone, please check out that article. It, like I said, it made me rethink of why I should keep writing because this was so well put together.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh my God, those are big words coming from you.
And, no, and to serious, be fair, I don't read a lot of things, right? Like, I've talked about this a lot. Like, I don't read movie reviews other than Kathy Gibson's. I'm someone who's, I'm very much like a child. I can be very influenced by suggestion and other people's opinions. So whenever I'm forming my own opinion, I try not to read other people's work because it does influence me. Once I have written whatever I've written, or once I've made a decision about what I feel like about something, that's when I'll go out and read. So, and your thing, again, like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, I lived through all of this and I still read your piece and I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, that happened. Oh, that's right. So,
yeah,
again, everyone, BollyBird.com.
Oh, thank you.
Read the article. Thank you. It's amazing. But that was basically it for this episode of the Split Screen Podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for all the support from everyone, you know, on the show and off, especially you, Sam. Why don't you let people know where they can get a hold of all of your writing, which, as I've said before, is better than mine, which I'm equal parts jealous and also admiring of. Let everyone know where they can get a hold of you online.
Right. So you'll find me on Twitter at Lipstick Patrol. That's Patrol with an A. And I write for a blog called BollyBrit. So that's at BollyBrit. You can find my latest article on the website itself, BollyBrit.com. And you can follow my editor too. He's at BollyBrit. So yeah, that's me.
And I will be linking to Sam's article on the show notes for this episode on audioboom.com. If you want to get more episodes of this, and I promise there will be more to come in the year 2019, we'll have some unique episodes. Sam and I actually have a surprise cooking up as well for the near future, which is all hush-hush right now. We're not talking about this. Sam, shh. So if you want to stay tuned for all those episodes and some other remake episodes and Bollywood News episodes as well, please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or really any other platform where you find your podcasts. If you like what you heard today, please leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. It helps people find us better. To get more of my movie rantings and ravings, follow me on Twitter at TheShahShaheed. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, this is Shashi from the Split Screen Podcast.
Bye.